Hi, and welcome to Packer Transplants, brought to you by Cheesehead TV, with your hosts, Corey Benke and Aaron Nagler. Today's show, December 10th, 2008, looks at a pathetic Packer defense and looks to the remaining three games for the green and gold. So don't go anywhere. You're listening to Packer Transplants.
I just want to win one game. We got Jacksonville, and that's what we're going to focus on, and that's just about all we can focus on right now.
From our studios in Inwood, Manhattan, Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football!
Hi, and welcome to Packer Transplants. I'm Aaron.
And this is Corey.
And today we'll sift through the frozen wreckage strewn across Lambeau this past Sunday and look at what went wrong in 2008. And maybe we'll bring up one or two good points as well. So let's get started.
And where do we get started? But the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good. We got Greg Jennings.
The playmaker on the Green Bay Packers.
Donald Pushoff Lee.
Donald Lee pushing off and, hey, splitting the seam.
Jordy, one-handed catch, Nelson.
And a great route adjustment with Rodgers on the touchdown.
And we got the bad. We got the Green Bay Packers.
The entire team, they're pretty bad.
And we got the ugly. We got Mike Morelli and crew.
That was one of the most horribly officiated games I have ever seen in my entire life.
And it still wasn't as horrible as the one where they called Rodgers on the safety.
Yeah, that was pretty horrible. You're right. and you were there to see it live.
Yes, unfortunately I was. Although, wow. Fortunately, I was there with my grandfather. We have some great pics. We're going to put them up on the blog when we blog about the Bears, because my grandfather is, he could be
in a
commercial.
These are some great pictures, ladies and gentlemen.
It's good stuff. So we'll put them up. It was, I didn't like that game very much.
It was cold.
It was cold. It wasn't as cold as the NFC Championship game, but...
No, but you got to stop going to these cold games, because
we're
not winning.
I was at the 11th coldest game, which is against Detroit. Was the 10th coldest at the time, but NFC Championship blew it out. I don't know where this one ranks. I have to do a whole ranking thing in the offseason. And speaking of the offseason, welcome to the Green Bay Packers.
Hey, now. Okay, well, all right. So last week, I was all about, it's time to look forward to 2009. But I have to admit, right now, I'm pumped. I think we run the table. I think the Bears lose two, including to us on a Monday night, and I think the Vikings are about to choke away three games in a row. So, hey, the Packers, 8-8, you're division champs.
There's something you're missing here, though.
What's that?
The Lions are going to go 0-15.
Okay? My wife was saying this exact same thing
on
Sunday.
And you know what? The Lions happen to be in the NFC North, okay?
They do
and if
indeed.
You were at that game in Lambeau Field, okay?
Yeah.
You saw, we got beat by the Texans.
Yeah, we did.
We got beat by a guy named Schaub.
500 yards they put up on our
He was bootlegging all day.
Yes, he was.
He was owning. The defensive line couldn't even get to him.
Yeah, it was upsetting.
And we think we can beat the Detroit Lions?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm here to tell you. It's three games in a row, dog.
A Detroit Lions team that has nothing to play for.
It's their Super Bowl, man.
It's the Super Bowl.
I'm telling you. That last week in Lambeau, it's their Super Bowl.
And look at GM and Ford. It'll be the bailout game.
The bailout bowl. I love it. Well, hey, before we get there.
But you know what?
What
is the team? What is the team in the annals of history of the NFL? What is the team that is going to stop the Lions from creating history of their own?
The Green Bay Packers? We're going to stop their history with some real history. With the team with the most history. We'll deny the 0-16 history to the Lions.
That's what it means to be a Packer fan, ladies and gentlemen. It's the good and the bad, and it's reveling in all of it.
Wow. Wow, that was a tangent, and I'm glad we went there. That was brilliant. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm fully on board. I'm on board with the miracle finish. And plus, who does Minnesota play this week? Arizona. Parallels, anybody?
Desert.
It's the start. It's the start of the miracle comeback. Is the Arizona game in the desert at Arizona. Minnesota chokes.
I was so hoping that Detroit would beat Minnesota.
I know, I was too. I think everybody, obviously, every Packer fan.
I mean,
was.
Obviously. We did one wave at Lambeau.
Dude, that's upsetting.
It was like the first quarter, everybody was just like, okay, show us what you can do.
Right.
Like, people didn't even talk on third down, okay? It's total opposite. You know, when you're in a playoff game, even when you're not, even when we're, like, slightly winning.
Right, right.
You know?
It's like, people are into it.
You know, it's like being at a Bishop's charity game. That's what it's like. It's like going to a preseason game.
Right.
Until the third quarter.
What's interesting is that it was so cold that lots of people sold their tickets.
Which is good, because that gets the good people, because we always get lame people behind us, these old people.
See, but
who
now
don't
you're saying it gets
are.
The good people, but apparently they weren't doing waves.
No, 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 they were.
They weren't cheering. Hey, you know, they were getting up on third down.
They were. Well, the problem is, my grandfather, he's awesome, but he doesn't really get up on any down. But he's 74, so he has...
So he's got an excuse.
He's got an excuse.
If you're 74 years old, and it's 3 degrees out, you're not getting up for nothing.
And it was his birthday.
Exactly. So he can do whatever
he wants.
Whatever he wants. Grandpa Banky, we salute you.
It's Grandpa Bruner, but...
Bruner, we salute you. We salute you.
But we were in Grandpa Banky's seats, so
there you go.
So everybody gets saluted.
It all
here.
Comes together. But you know what doesn't come together?
Bob Sanders?
Is this Packer defense. Wow.
Okay.
And 500 yards.
And anybody talking about, is it the players? It's Bob Sanders.
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay.
Bob Sanders is not ready for prime time.
Mike Vandermaus in yesterday's Green Bay Press Gazette wrote, he feels that it's not Sanders, it's Ted Thompson. Now, Thompson has some culpability here.
Corey Williams.
Let's be clear about that. He did leave the depth a little bare on the defensive line. However,
but if you're listening to half the people in my family, he also got rid of a family member.
Yeah, you said they're hating on Thompson. Like they hate him.
Like if you took a poll in my family on like all four family tree, and it's Wisconsin. It's all either Calumet County or Brown County.
Right.
Okay, maybe some Manitowoc County.
Okay, all right. We're all Winnebago, Outagamie, and Brown ourselves.
Well, there you go.
I hear you.
But if you just go through the trees, 50% of the people feel like they lost a loved one.
When Favre was traded.
Ted Thompson is Darth Vader to those people. I thought it was just crazy people on the Packer fan forum. I'm mistaken.
That's great.
It's my family.
It's very bizarre. The Packer fans, you know, this is their lifeblood. This is their family.
True.
Bob Sanders, he's an uninvited guest. All right. He's a guy who showed up at Thanksgiving with your sister who you want to kick out.
He's the guy
500 yards has not happened since 1983 in the infamous Monday night game, which is actually a great game. Lynn Dickey threw for like ridiculous yardage, highest scoring Monday night game ever. But 500 yards, dude, 500 yards to the Texans.
Bob Sanders. Dude, Schaub was out on a bootleg every play, it seemed like. Yeah. It would be like ran 2 yards, and then it would be him all day. And everybody's hating on the secondary, okay? The secondary of this team is the only thing worth a damn on the Packer defense, okay?
That is true. That is very true.
They have been injured and decimated, and they still have come through. When you have 6 seconds in the NFL to throw the ball, you are going to be good at it.
Yeah, there's
going
to be a guy open. Or if you blitz people incompetently, like Sanders does, there's always going to be a hot read for the quarterback to find, which happened again and again. When they played coverage, they had all day. When they blitzed, here's the tight end on a slant route. Here's the back out of the backfield on a wheel route. It's like football 101 and Sanders can't figure it out. And that's the thing. You can blame Thompson and his players and whatever you want to say, blah, 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 blah. But at the end of the day, you've got to have a competent defensive coordinator who knows this is my talent level. This is what I need to do. Sanders can't do it.
You have to have a person who can understand the personnel and put them in the position to make the plays. And
exactly.
You have to be fluid, and you have to be brilliant, and you have to be ready to risk everything to do it and to be conservative when you have to.
Yeah, and that's a risk in and of itself. I mean, when you're like, you know you can't get pressure on the quarterback, you cannot send blitzes that you haven't worked on all year, which is very apparent by the blitzes they sent on Sunday.
You send your A game or you send nothing, or you play your A game at all times against their A game. If they might send you their C game, then you adjust.
Dude, but here's what doesn't matter. What doesn't matter at all is the argument of Thompson versus Sanders. What does matter is Mike McCarthy. After this season, McCarthy's going to have a huge choice about Bob Sanders to make. It's his call to make, whether he keeps him, whether he gets rid of him.
True.
So people can argue Thompson versus Sanders.
Since 1992, we said it last week, Pete Doherty found the stat. Since 1992, every coach who has gone, his defense has gone 17th or worse,
yeah,
has been fired.
Has been fired. And of course, not shockingly, they asked McCarthy about this in his press conference on Monday. And here's what he had to say.
Well, I work with Bob every day. So from a personal side of it, he's a tremendous human being. It's very important to him. And professionally, he has a system, a scheme, and he's doing the best job that he can to put players in position to be successful. And, I hate to be redundant here. I mean, it all fits together. I have confidence in Bob, and we'll continue as we move forward.
You notice how he left himself a little wiggle room there? He's doing the best job that he can.
Yeah, it is the best job that he can.
And then at the end of the year, he can say, but that's just not good enough.
It is the best job that he can. I agree with him wholeheartedly.
Exactly. And that's a sad commentary on Bob Sanders. Speaking of sad commentary, I got a little bit of sad commentary for Mr. Tremon Williams.
Why is that?
This whole moving Woodson to safety, which I totally disagree with, as I expounded on a bit last week. I understand the reasoning, wanting your best players on the field.
That's good reasoning.
In quotes. However,
especially if Aaron Rouse is not what you thought he was.
As Bob McGinn said in his chat today, for whatever reason, the Packers have seriously soured on Ross very, very quickly.
There's things that they know that we don't.
Apparently so.
And you need the Woodson is a playmaker.
We got Woodson at safety. Okay, fine. He's a playmaker. All of his plays have been made at corner, but we won't talk about that right now. What we will talk about is Tremon Williams peeking in the backfield, not playing bump coverage, and getting burned quite a little bit more than he was when he was filling in for Al Harris earlier in the year.
And he had an interception as well.
He did, which was great, which was fantastic. However, it was a product of, and this is something Woodson has mastered because he's been in the league so long. Woodson knows how to pick his spots. The problem with Williams right now is that he's not picking any spots.
Every
he's just
spot.
Guessing yeah. all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And Woodson, as a veteran player, knows that you can't do that because then you get burned for 60-yard gains and 50-yard gains, and this is the problem. You get one interception, but then you get burned for 130 yards
of it. Well, but there's two sides to every coin because a secondary can only exist whereupon pressure is applied to
quarterback position.
This is
very true. That is absolutely true.
You cannot have all day. I don't care.
No, you're absolutely right.
Put a timer on it. Every
but
defensive
that is
play,
why
put a timer
the defense
on it.
Is designed so that the defensive back is bumping the receiver at the line of scrimmage. And why Williams, on two of the three, now one of them, granted, is absolutely because Schaub has a million years to throw. It's on the bootleg that Schaub literally rolls out and could have probably counted said the entire alphabet and then thrown the football.
He had a bootleg?
Yeah, apparently.
Well, wait, I want to hear what Tremon has to say about this.
A lot of inconsistency out there. Guys making plays, and then, just like you said about the down the driver thing, think we're going to get some points out of it, then, we marching back, flags coming from everywhere. So, it still came down to us having to win the game, and we just didn't get it done.
This week, it's the Packer Blogosphere!
Welcome to This Week in the Packer Blogosphere. Corey's doing the dance. Well, in this week's installment, we look upon TundraVision.
TundraVision.
I posted something on the blog linking to a very well-considered post that CD had up over there at TundraVision.
I have to say, TundraVision is one of my favorites over as part of the Packer Chatters.
We don't say Packer Chatters over here.
Packer Chatters.
We like to reference TundraVision and CD's work there. And it's an excellent post. You can find it on our blog, linking to it. Just a recap of 2008 in general, everything that's gone on since the 13-3 seemingly miracle season last year up until now, sitting at 5-8. What has gone wrong? CD does a great job of basically a summation of everything that's happened.
And we have a new forum topic
feature, if you will.
Packer fan clubs, which we've sent 4 Cheesehead reward packages.
Yeah, some good stuff. Good
covertly
stuff.
It's been nice.
And we had one Andrew in Atlanta.
Yeah, we
very,
have
very astute poster here at Cheesehead TV.
Packer fan bars as well, which yeah. You know, there's clubs, there's bars, there's clubs that go to bars.
There's bars that go to clubs.
There's bars at clubs. there's all kinds of goodness. We have our inaugural TJs.
Yeah, TJs in Atlanta. Andrew sent us some great photos. We have one up on the blog. Including information about the place. If you're in the Atlanta area, check it out. It looks fantastic for Packer games.
So go to the Packer fan forum. Tell us where you like to go. You know, there's a lot of places to go to find Packer bars, but I find that when I did some research, because I'm a nerd,
right?
When I did some research on this, it seems like a lot of them are like dead ends.
Yeah, no, a ton of them, especially like either on Packers.com
Online.
Or on JS yep. Online. There's a lot of places that either don't exist or just don't cater to Packer fans anymore.
Not that we don't love you, JS Online, but...
But your posting on this is kind of weak.
And it's kind of a fan thing anyway, and we are super fans.
And just to wrap up the Packer blogosphere section here this evening, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, we have no video podcast, but you do have
your
hat on right now.
No video podcast this week. But I'd like to point something out. To those of you who are anti-Aaron's hat, including Pack One over at Packers Lounge, I'd like to address a certain something that happened this past Sunday post-game. A certain quarterback was wearing, my hat.
He really was.
At his post-game press conference.
It was as if he had chosen sides in the blog battle.
None other than multimillionaire starting quarterback for the Green Bay Packers, Aaron Rodgers, was wearing my hat in his post-game press conference. So, there you go.
We're going to have a pick of that up tomorrow.
Andrew in Atlanta, Pack One, everyone who hated my hat.
There were a lot of haters.
You all can suck it. Because Aaron Rodgers is on my side.
Well, you know, Keith likes your hat, too. Let's listen to what he has to say about that.
Number one, Aaron, the hat has to stay. I'm a huge fan of the hat.
As is Aaron Rodgers, apparently. So thanks for that, Keith. You, me, and Aaron, we're all on the same side in that battle. Speaking of battles, the Packers are still in the battle for a playoff berth. It's interesting how one week has totally switched our positions. Because last week, I was where you are. I was like, maybe it's the seeing them live and sucking
Dude,
that has done it to you.
Sit in 11-degree weather. Watch this team against one of the worst teams in the NFL. And
ascending.
See if that makes you
the
feel
The Texans are an ascending
Get
team.
Get the F out of here. Ascending.
I'm kidding.
Do you work
I'm
for
kidding.
The NFL?
No, I don't. No, you're right. But here, we're going to break it down for you right here. At the old Packer transplants. Here's what needs to happen, ladies and gentlemen. The Vikings need to lose all 3 of their remaining games. At Arizona, at home against Atlanta, and at home against the Giants. And now everyone thought the Giants would be resting starters in that Week 17 game. However, now the Giants are in a fight for the home field advantage. Yeah. So that could be a loss as well. I think the Vikings lose those 3 games. The Pack will have to beat the Bears in Week 16 and have Chicago drop one of its other 2 games.
New Orleans.
Either versus New Orleans tomorrow night.
Which they will.
Or at Houston.
Hmm.
Oh, the Texans could come back into play here. Then we have the Packers have to win their remaining 3 games. This is the most problematic of all the things that have to happen. At Jacksonville, at Chicago, and at home against, that's right, 0-15, most likely at that point, Detroit.
Okay, and if you were taking an SAT course, okay, and your thesis was the Green Bay Packers, the 2008 Green goodness. Bay Packers, and you were asked which of these 3 things, Minnesota losing out, Chicago losing one.
Right. One
or,
other than the Monday night game.
Or Green Bay winning all 3 of its remaining games against no one.
Right.
You would choose 3, and you would have a 1,600.
Well, it all has to start this weekend against Jacksonville. And I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, and not just because I'm on board with this crazy the Packers are going to make the playoffs thing.
Oh, I'm on board with it, but
I just want to say that I would be saying this even if I was still in my doom and gloom mode from last week.
No doubt. I'm always on board.
The Packers are going to dominate the Jaguars. You heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen.
Do I get to stick a Cheesehead TV pin in your face if they don't?
Please do. I'm asking you, please stick a Cheesehead TV pin in my face if the Packers do not dominate the Jaguars.
All right.
Because it is going to happen. Mike McCarthy, for all that has gone on this year, he still has his locker room. When you throw in the Brett Favre thing at the beginning of the year and then all the close games that they've lost and all the questionable coaching decisions, both offensive and defensively, just for him to still have his team is a testament to McCarthy. Jack Del Rio, his counterpart on the other sideline on Sunday, has completely lost his team, which is just even more hilarious when you throw in the fact that he just received a contract extension this past offseason, much like McCarthy did, and he's totally lost his team. I think the Packers roll on Sunday.
I sure hope so.
I think they do. Matt Jones, who's terrible, was their leading receiver and is now suspended for the rest of the year. Al Harris, Tremont Williams, Charles Woodson, Nick Collins, they are going to absolutely shut down any semblance of a passing game that Jacksonville has or
I'm
had.
Still...
And we are going to commit everything to the run. Defensive won't... That's right. You're hearing this, ladies and gentlemen. Defense won't even be a problem this week. Aaron Rodgers and crew will row up 450-plus yards. They'll win by at least three scores, two or more touchdowns.
Don't forget the MVP of the Texans game, either.
Who is that?
You know who that is.
No.
The Who's punter.
That? Oh, yeah. I mean, here we go. I said this to Corey before we started recording. The reason the Texans could actually roll up 500 yards of offense is because we finally had a competent punter who gave them long fields to work on. See, it doesn't help that the fact that our defense is terrible and they allowed them all those yards.
They can allow long drives, too.
But for once, you know, they had long drives to go. So
before, it was always, you're just bad field position.
You just need 40 yards and you've got a touchdown. Now, it's all gone this weekend. We destroy the Jacksonville Jaguars on Sunday. Well, that's it for this week's show. We hope you enjoyed the latest installment of Packer Transplants. Please tell your fellow Packer fans about us and visit us at CheeseheadTV.com.